How many times God has done so many things in our lives, and it seems that we so easily forget how God previously has helped us in the past. And we come into a lapse of faith. You lose your job. You say, oh, Lord, how am I going to eat now? How am I going to pay my bills? I mean, have you ever starved to death, or have you ever been to the point of death where God has not helped in the past? No. God always comes through.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once felt so much misery and despair, he planned to take his own life. But over the past nearly 50 years, he's learned to trust God's faithfulness, even in seasons of confusion and adversity. For Raul's full testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of his story. Well, thanks for joining us today for encouragement from the book of Genesis. As we explore moments of doubt in the faith journey of Abraham and his wife Sarah, you'll see that God is trustworthy and sovereign, even when we don't understand his will. Stay with us for fresh confidence to follow the Lord wherever he leads, knowing that his plans for us sometimes may be mysterious, but they're always good. Let's listen in now as Raul Reese begins.
And so now in chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, he says this, and then Abraham journeyed from there to the actual south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, which is south of Egypt. And he sojourned in Gerar. And now Abraham and Sarah said to Sarah, his wife, Sarah, he said, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Here is now the second time that Abraham has a lapse of faith. Here again, Abraham and Sarah are lying to the king Abimelech. And it's amazing because look what it says in this verse here, verse 2. And now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah, which means that Sarah was about 90 years old and she was still a fox. She was beautiful. It's amazing that at 90 years old, the king of Gerar still wanted to take Sarah into his bosom. And so the reason he did that is because Abraham said, she's not my wife, she's my sister, so, you know, you can do whatever you want. Which it shows you that Abraham wasn't really careful to protect and to watch his wife. And so, of course, God had to intervene. Look what it says. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, Abimelech, you're a dead man. Notice what God said to him. He didn't even mess around. You touch her, you're dead. Notice that. But God came to Abimelech by a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Notice that. Here God divinely is protecting the seed of Abraham, which the Messiah will come through. I love that because here I see not only God protecting the seed of Abraham, but how God protects you and how God protects me in case we get into some mischief. When we're not really trying to be fair in our servanthood to the Lord. I mean, God has given us a will to choose or to reject. And at the same time as we have our will to choose and to reject, yet God will step in to fulfill his will, not your will. He always overrules your will. I like that. That's the way God works. God will do whatever he has to do to accomplish the work that he wants to do through your life or through my life, just like Jonah, what he did to Jonah. And it's so important here that we see as Abimelech now has taken Sarah into his house. And God comes to him and says, and if you touch her, you're a dead man. And then verse 5, look what it says. He's telling God, did not he say to me, Abraham, she's my sister? And she even herself said, he's my brother. And the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. God, I didn't mean it. I did it innocently. He did not tell me, and I thought it was his sister, so I took her. And then watch this, verse 6. And God said to him in a dream again, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I didn't let you touch her sexually. Notice how God was in control of the whole situation. Abimelech could have never had sex with Abraham's wife. God would never have allowed it. Because she was the mother where the seed of Abraham would lead us to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You see? God intervened. God protected the seed. And then verse 7 says, and now therefore restore the man's wife to him, for he is a prophet. Here's the first time in the Bible that Jesus Christ says that Abraham was a prophet. And he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you don't restore her to Abraham, know that you shall surely die, you and all of yours. Notice that. He says, if you don't do what I say, I'll wipe you out and your wife and your kids and everybody else. And so Abimelech rose up early in the morning, and he called all his servants and told them all these things in the hearing of the men where they were afraid. And then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom such a great sin, Abraham? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Abraham, how come you weren't straight with me? I was straight with you. And then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in mind that you have done this thing? Hey, what were you thinking, Abraham? What were you thinking when you did this? Notice Abraham's lack of faith in verse 11. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God was not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife, which actually he was saying I was a coward. That's the reason I did it. But you see, Abraham should have trusted in the Lord. God already had helped him. How many times God has done so many things in our lives, and it seems that we so easily forget how God previously has helped us in the past. And we come into a lapse of faith. You lose your job, and you say, oh Lord, how am I going to eat now? How am I going to pay my bills? I mean, have you ever starved to death, or have you ever been to the point of death where God has not helped in the past? No. God always, always comes through. The problem is that it's God's timing and not your timing. You see, we become desperate. Or maybe he wants to teach you faith, to really trust in him and see if God, Jehovah Jireh, really provided my needs by faith without asking. You see, so nothing is by coincidence. Everything is by divine appointment, the things that happen within our lives. And these things are given to us here. They're appointed to us and written here for our example, so that we may learn from the weakness of Abraham's lack of faith, so that we don't have the same problem when something like this happens to us. That's why these things are written, you see. Here Abraham is actually making excuses for what he did, which he cannot do that. Verse 12, but indeed, she is truly my sister, half-sister. That was true. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, you see. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kindness, notice, that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, you say that you're my brother. Notice that. He already had planned it all out. Instead of trusting God, he already had his own plan with his own wife on how to be rescued. And then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female and servants and gave to them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. I mean, notice the kind of God that we serve. I mean, instead of reprimanding Abraham, he blesses him. He gives him all these goodies. And then verse 15, and then Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell in it wherever you please. But then as now he rebukes both of them. And then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given you your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, This vindicates you before all who are with you and before all the others. Thus, she was reproved by Abimelech. And then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his maidservants. Then they bore children. Actually, what happened is that from the moment that Abraham gave up his wife and Abimelech took her, God intervened and actually stopped Abimelech and his wife, that where they couldn't have any children. He cursed them. But now the curse is lifted up once Abimelech has obeyed God, and Abraham now is on his way. So Abraham interceded for Abimelech, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his main servants, and then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Notice that. God is in full control of the situation. And then we continue chapter 21. Now the promise that has been made to him years past now is going to come to pass. The fulfillment of God's word. And then the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did Sarah as he had spoken. Remember the last time we heard Sarah, she was in the tent in chapter 18, and she was laughing when the angel told Abraham, by this time next year, your wife is going to be pregnant. Grandma Abraham's wife is going to be pregnant, and she laughed. She said, how can that be? I'm so old. She was beautiful, but at the age that she was old. And yet now God comes the next year as God had promised, and now she becomes pregnant. Now, just to encourage some of you women that can't have children, know one thing, that it's not a curse of God. God is in full control with your husband as he is in control with you. Maybe God doesn't really want you to have children. Maybe he wants to use both of you full time in some type of ministry. Maybe he wants you to adopt. He'll let you know that too. But I think we have to be open to the Holy Spirit, like Abraham and Sarah, to whatever God would want to do in my life. And then, if we are going to bring children into this world, let us, as parents, dedicate them unto the Lord, so that God can use them as he wills, and not what we want them to be, but whatever God would want them to be, that's what I would be happy in my children, doing whatever God would want them to do. Never forcing them to do what I want them to do. But here again, look what he says. God's perfect timing, not our time. And then Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. Notice that God's time is perfect. Notice that God set the time when it was going to happen, and it happened. And then Abraham called the name of his son which was born to him Isaac, which means laughter. Why? Because Sarah laughed in the tent a year ago. Notice, they would always name their children according to the circumstance of the time. And so Isaac is called laughter here. And then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was actually 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Notice that even before the law was established by Moses in the book of Exodus, Abraham here is already being obedient to God's love and God's grace and God's mercies. And so here God is bringing forth his word, as every Jew had to be circumcised. In verse 5, he says, and now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh so that all who hear will laugh with me. Notice that. I mean, he's 100 and she's 90 and she has a baby. And then watch this. And again, she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in my old age? Can you imagine Grandma Sarah with a little baby? Can you imagine that was your grandma? People would freak out. They wouldn't believe it. But here God did it. Nothing is impossible with God. And so the child grew and was weaned. They would wean children from 2 to 3 years old. And then Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And then Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had become Abraham's coffin. Remember that Abraham, when he disobeyed God, when he went to Egypt, Egypt is a type of the world. When Abraham came back, he picked up Hagar in Egypt, and she became a thorn to his side. Hagar is the mother of the Arabs, Ishmael, where Isaac was the son of the promise, not Ishmael, you see? And there's this constant war even in Palestine today between, you know, the Arabs and the Israelites, the Jews. And God said that would happen until the end of the time. They're both brothers, and yet they hate each other, just as God said it would happen. Look what it says now. And so Ishmael was actually about 16 years old now and probably was making fun. He was making fun here. And there she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, her son, and the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. You see, when you have two wives, it doesn't work. That's why God said only one wife, one husband. But God said to Abraham, Abraham was bummed out. Do not let this displeasing be in your sight because the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you this time, listen to the voice of your wife. Now, notice what it says. Carol, you have to listen to your wife when God says to listen to your wife. And guys say, amen, right? No. There's a time and there's a place. And here God is teaching Abraham not only how to get along with his wife, but to become one with his wife, you see? And that's important. Because now he says, Abraham, it may seem like a bummer here, man, but I want you to listen to your wife, because what you don't see is that I'm doing a work to fulfill the word of God. Watch what happens. Verse 13. Whatever she says to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Mark that. Not in Ishmael. Ishmael was not in the line of Jesus. Only Isaac. Laughter. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. Now, because she is your wife and because he is your son, I'm not going to leave him alone, but I'm going to make a nation of him. And this is where the Arab nations came. He actually made the Arab nation with 12 nations. And you'll see that in a moment. And so Abraham rose up early in the morning and he took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, and he gave it to the boy and to Hagar, and he sent her away, and then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Notice that. And here God begins to make a distinction between Ishmael, which is the type of the flesh, and Isaac is the type of the Holy Spirit, or the life of the Spirit in the life of the believer. Isaac is the believer, Ishmael is the non-believer. Isaac is the spiritual man, Ishmael is the fleshly man, you see? And so God here makes a distinction. And then the water of the skin, as they were in the wilderness of Beersheba, very desolate place, the water of the skin was used up, it dried up, and then she placed the boy under a shrub tree, and she went and sat down across from a distance, and notice, in just about a bow shoot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. And so she sat opposite to him and he noticed, and lifted her voice and she wept. Notice what it says here. As she put Ishmael on the side, she began to weep and God heard her weeping and crying. And God answers her prayer. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. Notice how God hears children. He heard the voice of the lad and the angel of the Lord. Here again is a theophany in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ before the New Testament as the angel of Jehovah. And then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? What's wrong with you? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Get up. Notice the command. Get up and take the lad and hold him in your hand. For I will make him a great nation. The child was 16 years old, a teenager. And God here begins to make the promise to Hagar that God is going to use him to create the Arab nations. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And then she went and she filled the skin of water and gave the lad a drink. And so God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He was actually a wild man. Notice this. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt, the type of the world. Notice, she, instead of taking from the land of the spirit, she goes down to Egypt and she takes a wife for him, which is the type of the world here. And of course, this is also the 12 sons will be born later to Ishmael. And it came to pass at the time that Abimelech and Phicol and the commander of his army spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do, Abraham. Notice how these heathen kings and the surrounding people around Abraham all recognized that God was with Abraham. Without Abraham preaching ever. Without ever preaching to anyone, they could see the testimony in his life. I think that's really important, that if we don't preach, do people see our witness? They see the light that we bear as Christians today. Because here these men respected Abraham, these heathens, because of the life that he lived. They were watching him, and they were watching his family as they would behave. And then it says in 23, and now therefore swear to me by God, Abraham, I know that God is with you, swear to me that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my prosperity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me also to the land in which you have sojourned. They recognized that God was giving all the land to Abraham, and they didn't want to be betrayed by Abraham, which Abraham would never do, but they wanted to secure themselves in the presence of Abraham. And then Abraham said, I will swear. And then Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And then Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor have I heard it until even today. And so Abraham took sheep and oxen, and he gave them to Abimelech as a trade to make a covenant. And two of them made a covenant or an agreement. And then Abraham sent seven ewe lambs of the flocks by themselves. And then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of the seven ewe lambs which you have said by themselves? Seven is the number of perfection, or the completing of a covenant, you see. 7 days in the week, on the eighth day, you start a new week.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Rees. If you'd like to review this message, we'll send you a complete unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Roel's lessons from Genesis chapters 20 through 22. As you consider the continual opportunity you have to push past your doubts and follow God like Abraham and Sarah, we'd like to tell you about a helpful resource titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. It's a hardcover book by Jim Cimbala that will inspire you to fully entrust your future to the Lord as you explore the personal stories of others who've learned to walk the path of faith through confusing and difficult circumstances. If you'd like to experience the peace and blessing of a life well lived for Christ, then get in touch with us. You can place your order for Jim Cimbala's book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In by visiting somebodylovesyou.com or by calling 800-634-9165. We'll send you this hardcover title for just $10 plus shipping and handling. The phone number again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. There are also a number of ways you can experience Rawls' biblical teaching for free. He now has a YouTube channel featuring classic messages as well as more recent studies. Search Somebody Loves You Worldwide to subscribe. And every Somebody Loves You radio program is available to download as podcast through Spotify or iTunes. And you can stream all of these broadcasts on any Alexa-powered device. And don't forget, every contribution you make helps take Rawls' teaching to more and more people across the nation. On behalf of all of us at Somebody Loves You Radio, thanks so much for your partnership. Coming up next time, we'll see that just as God brought Isaac and Rebekah together in marriage, He desires for you to enjoy a deeply personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Roll now with the closing comment.
And he said, "You will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be a witness that you have dug this well." Therefore, he called the place Beersheba, which means the well of swearing or the well of 7 wells in Hebrew, because the 2 of them swore an oath there. And thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And so Abimelech rose up and Pishol and the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, which is there again. And there they called the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, which literally here is the first time mentioned here, El Shaddai, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.